Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
It's time for some rank builders right here on In This League. Hello, friendos. Welcome into the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. It is the Thursday rank builders where Scott Bogman and myself, Chris Welch, sit here. Let's go through our ranks. You're just hanging with us. That's all that's really going on here.
First and last name today. That is, yeah. All right. Thank you, Christopher. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, Scottifer. You're welcome, Scottrick.
Yeah. Scottrick. Thank you.
Scottrick and Christopher. That's right. Mm-hmm. We literally are just going to be going through our ranks. We talk about them, you know, obviously throughout the week, and they get in pieces of conversation. But this is us building and adjusting our ranks for the Fantasy Pros contest. And maybe this is going to give you guys some insight into just a bigger scope of what we're doing. And Bogman, you know, no big deal. We haven't talked about it a whole bunch, but I just randomly went and looked at the ranks. And week 7, your boy, 31st overall in the ranks.
Wow, man.
So that was my highest. This has been my highest performance. I was this, and this is a feat I'm going to take with me. I was inside the top 100 ranks at every single position. As a matter of fact, I was inside the top 75 of every single position. And 2 of them, I was inside the top 50. So look at me. It's not that big of an accomplishment at all, because it's not. But, you know, there's like 200 something rankers or whatever the number ends up being. And top 31 is good. I finished higher than, you know, we could just rattle off random names like Jeff Ratcliffe, who's won this contest. And we'll just like scroll down.
Wait a minute. Where was Jake Seeley? Was he?
Let's look. Seeley. Did I finish higher than Seeley? I missed an opportunity, by the way, if I did and I didn't mention it. I did. Oh, I didn't mention it on The Athletic.
That's
finished
disgusting.
81st. 81st. You know what, too? I think I finished higher at every single position than him, except RB. Wait, let's take a look. Did I finish higher in RB? Nope. He finished higher in RB by just a notch, but I beat him in every other position.
I just always forget to hit submit on Sunday morning. It's like without fail. I'll sit here on this StreamYard with you talking about ranks.
We're literally doing it. Yeah. On Sundays, we do a show where it's right before.
Well,
we
like as soon as we're done with that show, I'm into, all right, relax mode. You know, I'm going to watch my game. I'm going to watch, you know, the Sunday ticket, the red zone, whatever it is. And I just do not hit submit. I'm sure I was like 255 out of 200 people.
You were a little bit higher than that.
Thanks.
It's like add like a 1 to my number and like you're in there. Yeah. A little bit more than that also.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. I mean, we don't really need to talk about it. I'm just saying I did finish 31st, higher than Jake Seeley and higher than all the other important people.
You know, it's hard when you're celebrating 31st. So
it is totally. Let's see how many rankers there actually were this last week, because you know, they're going to drop off.
Oh yeah. What is it? 180,
195. Oh, interesting. I think some people are starting to drop off. I see, the CBS guys
been well over 200 for the most part. So.
Yeah. They must've stopped I see like the CBS guys, like didn't a couple of them didn't put their ranks in, but it has 195 rankers.
What is CBS taking a stand against Fantasy Pros or something?
Maybe.
What's happening?
That might be the case. I just see, I don't want to, you know, throw out names, but a couple of the names show up on the not ranked or not. Maybe they only rank 195. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But that's how it was last week. So the rank building and all of that, you know, worked out in whatever favor it was, even though last week was the Amon-Ra St. Brown situation. But I think everybody got screwed with it, where, you know, every single person had him where he was, and then that that knocked them out. So let's get through this. Let's talk about some of the weirdness in the ranks. Obviously, we did it over on the episode yesterday, ITL Fantasy Football, where we talked about some of our favorite plays. But as far as ranks go, Bogman, at the quarterback position, let's pull this up here. The Fantasy Pros consensus has Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Jackson, and Murray as your top five. Tua comes in at six. You've got Cousins, Prescott, Brady, and Daniel Jones. That is the top 10 on here. I have Tua at five this week, so I'm surprised that they jumped up that high. And I want to remind everybody, I did, Bogman and I do our ranks, like, we start like Monday night because we have a show to do on Tuesday morning. So we're one of the first people to do it. So we don't get the extra benefit of like all the rankers have done their ranks, and then
yeah,
it starts off with that consensus. Like, you know, we get like the dirt consensus. So I wasn't, you know, this was no following of anybody else. I moved Tua up to five up against Detroit, and I think I've talked about it ad nauseum, but I love the matchup with the two wide receivers. And I guess I've just been kind of a Tua guy this year. Boggs, where do you have Tua?
I've got him at six, so I'm right in line. I mean, it's Detroit. Detroit has the worst secondary in the league by a wide margin, you know. So they've just not been good there. So Tua, you know, with Tyreek and Waddle, and him looking so good on Sunday Night Football too. It's not just that, hey, this matchup is good, he's got good wide receivers, that's it. He looked good on Sunday night, you know, coming back from the major concussions and all that stuff. So you know, I would like it if he didn't lead his runs with his head anymore. That would be nice. Tua, what the hell are you doing? Learn how to slide, son. You know, get the Alabama baseball team out there. Get the Marlins out there to teach him how to slide or something. I don't know what it is, but he keeps, you know, leaning into tackles with his head first, and that is not something you want to see from him. But other than that, I mean, just he made those throws to Waddle look easy, and, you know, every throw to Tyreek Hill is easy. You know, just throw it in his general direction. He'll go up and get it. He'll get it if it's low. I mean, the dude is unbelievable. So it's a great matchup.
I'm curious about this one where you have him, because Jared Goff comes in at 13.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
And I'm going down this well again, but I like Goff this week. And as far as like a matchup goes, Miami's giving up the fifth most points fantasy-wise to quarterbacks. He's got Amon-Ra St. Brown back. DeAndre Swift practiced in full. He's going to be back. Feel like we're going to get Lions going again. I have Jared Goff as a QB1. I put him at 10 this week. I'm going pretty aggressive because I think that middle pack is not fun. And also, like, let me look at what the fantasy. So, like, I'm just out on Brady and Rodgers right now. I'm just not going to go down that well. Now, Rodgers did, wants a new. Actually, that was Kansas City. I was thinking, I spent so much time on The Athletic talking about Green Bay and trading for a wide receiver, and then Kadarius Toney got traded, but it was to Kansas City. But like, I'm out on Rodgers and Brady right now in general, if I have another viable option that makes sense, because Brady stinks. Rodgers stinks. Their offenses are not in tune at all. I don't know what's going to fix it. And Jared Goff.
So on your rosters, on your rosters, do you have one team that has Brady and Goff on it?
On the same?
On the same team.
No,
that sounds like a Welsh stack, Brady and Goff right there. But
week I would go with Goff.
Chance in hell. Goff has looked like garbage 2 weeks in a row. I know he's missed his wide receivers, obviously, and Swift. That clearly hurts. But I mean, he didn't do it last week against Dallas. I have no faith in Goff anymore. So I have both those guys ahead of him. I just think that Brady, actually, no, I have Rodgers a little bit lower. I'm going to actually put him above Goff right now because I hate Goff.
I still love Goff too. You were the Goff guy.
Yeah, I'm done. He looks like garbage. Like, he had a chance to say, okay, you know, I was a high pick. I got ousted out of LA. They won the Super Bowl right after he was ousted, so it looked like he was the issue. But he looked good, and he's got weapons, and he is just flushing it down the toilet right now. I'm ready for Goff to be gone, ready for Bryce Young to get in there. I'm ready for C.J. Stroud, Will Levis. I don't care. Hendon Hooker, somebody. Anybody that's not Goff to get in there and make this offense click.
Who'd you rather have, Derek Carr or Tom Brady this weekend?
Carr.
Okay, because I, you know what? I had Brady above, but I'm going Brady below. Okay, Brady or Garoppolo?
I think I have those right next to each other. Let me double check.
I'm moving Brady below Garoppolo and Carr right now. I'm just out on Brady.
No, I have Brady. I have Brady at 12 against Baltimore. It's the game tonight. Baltimore secondary is bad. It is a get right spot for Tom Brady, you know, and hopefully with only 4 days, he didn't take any, you know, days off to go to Mallorca with the supermodel or anything, whatever the hell he's doing, you know, going to weddings and all that nonsense. Get your ass in the game. What are you doing?
Either
retire or don't. You know, this is the frustrating thing about Brady. You can't be half in, half out in the NFL. So 4 days to prep. I expect him to be much better.
PJ Walker, where do you have him? I'm dying to know because that's someone I moved up. I feel like it is aggressive compared to the consensus ranks. He's 28th on the Fantasy Pros. Where do you have him?
I bumped him way up. Well, so I got him at 26.
I have him much higher than you.
What is he, 13 for you?
No, I'm at 19. I put him at 19.
So, okay. So give me a couple. So you're putting him ahead of Dalton, Russ, Stafford.
Get back to my ranks here. See, I'm stuck on Stafford. I actually kind of want to move Stafford down. I have Stafford at 16. It's just
the Niners at 21.
The Niners defense has been just waffly, though. Like, they're not as good as they were.
But they own the Rams in the regular season.
They do. Yeah, you're right about that.
And Bosa's back, and they have CMC. They can control clock a little bit more. So I have, like, you know, I moved them up. I moved them ahead of Mac Jones, who's starting. Marcus Mariota can't complete a goddamn pass. Zach Wilson's playing New England, and he sucks. Actually going to move him below
who,
Sam
who Allinger are you saying you have right above now. All these guys?
PJ Walker.
Oh, we PJ Walker. About. Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm going right.
to. All right. There, move. Sarcastic dickhead. Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
Like, you,
I'm
so
sorry,
you said
man.
Like three different names. You
I'm sorry. Like I'm names. Sorry. Right. Sam Ellinger, I have at 23. He was the guy that I moved up this week.
You move Walker above him?
No, I have Walker below him.
Ooh, really? See, Ellinger, I think, is just so difficult because we don't know exactly what we're getting into. Is it going to be 15 passes that are just going to be 130 yards and maybe a
rushing
touchdown?
But he'll run. He will 100% run. And he, like I said, he's like a, you know, he's like a right-handed Tim Tebow. That I think that's a pretty good comp. If you watch him play, he doesn't have a ton of arm strength, but he's pretty accurate, and he will absolutely make a play with his legs, especially at the goal line. I mean, dude had so many rushing touchdowns at Texas, and it's almost to a detriment that he'll run and he'll lower his shoulder and try to run over some linebackers too, because he's big. He's like 245, 250, and he's solid muscle. So
one might make
me
crazy.
He's like a little bowling ball. He really is.
I have PJ Walker above Trevor Lawrence this week. And my reasoning is twofold. Denver giving up the least amount of fantasy points to quarterbacks. And I think it is by, let me pull it back up. It is by a decent margin, averaging 10 points a game, giving up to fantasy quarterbacks, not a lot rushing, under 200 yards passing, under a touchdown. They're averaging more picks against quarterbacks than passing touchdowns. Take all of that and then also throw in the travel to London and the London letdown. So I understand there could be, you know, it can get crazy and stuff like that, but I expect low total points, and this is a bad defensive matchup. They did just lose James Robinson, so they're moving to ETN. I just don't particularly like it, and PJ Walker against Atlanta is a great matchup where I think they're going to be able to run and sling the ball a little
AJ bit. AJ Terrell is out for this game as well with a hamstring injury, the Falcons' number one corner. So DJ Moore back on the menu, boys. You know,
and I don't know if PFF had an average grade on cornerback wide receiver matchup. I don't know if they were accounting for Terrell being out. And I looked at this yesterday. I'm actually going to take a look right now because I feel like with Terrell out, that should be
He was questionable. So they probably should have had him out, but I'm not 100% sure how they do that stuff at PFF. But look, yeah, I understand the Walker Love, and I really do understand lowering anyone going over to play in London, of course, because it's a lot of travel and all that stuff. Here's the one thing I'll say about Lawrence, and I think that this game is going to be a disaster for Denver because, like, the Jaguars, even though they have a new head coach in Doug Peterson and everything, all the players have done this trip before. Everyone that's not a rookie has pretty much done this trip before because Jacksonville is the team that goes over to London more than anybody else because Shad Khan wants to move them to London eventually. So he'll give up all kinds of home games to go to play in London. He gets way more money doing that. So they have experience going there, and Denver doesn't. I mean, you've already heard the complaints about Russell Wilson on the plane trying to do high knees while the plane's going and, you know, praying and stuff loudly while everyone else is trying to sleep. It's like very weird stuff that's happening in Denver. And Hackett has not been good. I mean, the guy can't figure out the play clock in a sport that he's played his entire life. He's really going to figure out the schedule in London. I don't know, man. This might be the last straw for Hackett here if they just get destroyed. So I have Lawrence a little higher. I'm a little lower on Russell Wilson. I just don't like this as a whole this week.
Is there anybody else that jumps in? We know Andy Dalton is starting, which I'm going to move him. I actually haven't moved him up yet. We know he's going to be the starter, and I think that's a pretty – where are you going to put him? Because I just had him kind of arbitrary until we found out more. And against the Raiders –
I mean, it's a good matchup against the Raiders. I have him in 19. I have like a spot ahead of Russell Wilson. I have a couple spots ahead of Stafford because Stafford's been so bad. And then the rest of the guys below him I have are all like not veterans. It's Pickett, Ellinger, Heinicke, Davis Mills, PJ Walker, all the young guys that are kind of questionable to keep their job. I have Mac Jones way down there. I have Zach Wilson way down there because they don't throw passes in New York. So I don't know. I just buried the young guys and the guys that have not been performing. And Andy Dalton's a little bit better than those.
I moved Dalton actually up into the team, so that's going to move Walker down one. What about Russ? You know, Russ doing all his 20. Leg stretches and all that bull crap on the plane there. What'd you put, 20?
20. He's less than 100%, and he hasn't been good all year. So, like, I don't know. I still have him ahead of some of these, you know, inexperienced dudes, but he's got to be low. I would rather start. I honestly, if I have Andy Dalton, I'm starting him against Vegas over.
I am too. What about PJ Walker versus Russell Wilson?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, in this league.
Look at us. Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
You know what? I would start Russ in that scenario, but honestly, I don't care. Like, you know, this is all the group of whoever you have the best gut feeling of. And in that, like, tier, I would have Wilson, Stafford, Pickett, Ellinger, Heinicke, Mills, Walker, Brissett, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and Mariota. Like, that, you know, bottom 10 or whatever it is, it's like, dude, if you got a good feeling on someone, okay. You know, I just don't on any of those guys. So.
Yeah. On the running backs, the ECR, you've got Henry at 1, Barkley, Jacobs, Chubb, Ken Walker comes in at number 5 on the ECR. McCaffrey, Taylor, Cook, Kamara, Mixon finishes it out. So where are you at on McCaffrey this week? Because I've got McCaffrey currently at 4. I want to put him at 1, but I'm going to keep him at 4 because he's going to be much more involved in the 49ers offense. I moved Taylor up to 3 in this game against Washington, and then I've got Barkley and Henry. So I don't have Walker inside my top 5, but I do have him at 6.
I've got Henry at 1, Barkley at 2, McCaffrey at 3. So
you got McCaffrey over Taylor.
Yeah, over Taylor and over Josh Jacobs, because Josh Jacobs missed practice on Wednesday with a foot injury, they said. I thought maybe this was going to be like a veteran rest day, but they actually gave it a designation. So that makes me a little leery on him, but, you know, he practices today, he practices tomorrow, he's going to be fine. So he's still high up there. Yeah, look, JT, I'm wondering what this offense looks like under Ehlinger, right? It should be hand the ball to JT a bunch, but does that mean 9-10 man boxes? And are they going to let Ehlinger, you know, change up the plays and make calls and audibles and stuff?
That's what I feel like is going to happen. Don't you assume you're going to put at least 7-8 in the box on Taylor, and they're going to make Ehlinger beat them in the air until proven otherwise? Like, that's going to be the early game plan.
They should. So, I mean, to counteract that, the Colts should be passing the ball early, which also takes a little bit off of Taylor.
First play of the game should be a play action deep to Michael Pittman.
Deep, yep. Deep to Pittman or Campbell or whoever, somebody. Somebody should roll out.
It's just one of those. It's like play action to Taylor. Let him roll out and let him just bomb it to the big tall guy and let Pittman go up and try to set the tone.
It'd be hilarious if it's play action interception. I mean, I hope it doesn't happen, but like, we know that's what they should do. So Washington has to know that's what they should do. You know, watch for the play action here, boys, you know, one of those to start. But yeah, I don't know. That's all chess and checkers and all of that. So I'm hoping my guy has a good week.
What do you do? Well, what about Ken Walker? Are you on? I got him at 6. He's 5 on ECR right now. He's below Jacobs on the ECR. I also have, Jacobs is 3 on there. I have Jacobs at 5. If the injury stuff changes, I might adjust a little bit. But where are you at on Walker?
I got him at 9. I got him behind JT, Chubb, Mixon against Cleveland. That's the worst run defense in the NFL. And Dalvin Cook versus Arizona. I just expect that to be a high scoring game. So 9. Firm RB1, and that's just what he is moving forward.
This one I'm curious about is Swift. Swift got in a full practice, looked like he's going to be back. Are you going to drop him back into the top 10?
Not the top 10. I have him. Yeah, I got him right at 9. Now. I got him right now at 11. I've got ETN at 10, and I have Swift at 11. So see, Walker, ETN, Swift.
Again, that Miami matchup in general is just like it's a relatively positive plays. They almost average a touchdown per game. They actually average, as far as like yards per carry, pretty low, 3.8. Yet the total fantasy points are up. They give up a little bit more to receiving running backs, which is going to work well for DeAndre Swift. So I don't know. I'm willing to throw him back in. I guess I'm giving more benefit of the doubt to the Lions this week, obviously, than like you are, you know, because I'm a little bit more Goff and they're going to get Amon Ross St. Brown. I just feel like the offense is going to be clicking a little bit.
I just want to see them all together again one more week before I start giving in the benefit of the doubt, because they aren't a clean team. You know, it's not like coming back and Jefferson, Cousins and Cook. You know what I mean? It's not like that for them. It's, you know, because Jared Goff is at the helm, it's just questionable overall. So
Swift's current ETA
a little bit less.
Swift's ECR is 19 right now as we're recording this. So that's see how that changes. I think a lot of people just weren't doing anything while he wasn't practicing. And as we're recording this on Thursday, he's like officially in getting a full practice in. So I think you're going to see a lot of updates coming in here relatively soon. Two other really polarizing.
I got one for you.
Oh yeah. 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 Let's hear it.
Pollard, because it looks like Zeke is not going to play. So if Zeke is absolutely out of this game, he hasn't ruled himself out. The Cowboys haven't, but all the beat reporters are saying he hasn't practiced all week, ain't going to play, you know? So if there's no Zeke, let's just assume there's no Zeke. Yeah. What do you do with Pollard? Where does he go?
This is funny that you brought this up, because I talked a lot about this with Jake and Brandon on The Athletic this week. And Jake was a lot more kind of poo-poo-y about like, you know, I don't know. I think Zeke could get out there and he's maybe an RB3 because he'll steal touchdowns and stuff like that. But I just don't see Zeke playing. I don't see a scenario.
Beat reporters today on NFL Network, 5 minutes before we started this, said they do not expect Zeke to play. So
yeah, I don't.
That was from like Pelissaro, I believe. So
I've currently got Pollard at 18 and the ECR is 17. I got to tell you, I do find it really hard to push him up, because here's a prime example of a player. I was actually going to ask you about this player, Raheem Mostert. Mostert this week is going up against the Dolphins. I'm sorry. No, he is the Dolphins. He's going up against Detroit. the Detroit. And Detroit is giving up the second most fantasy points to running backs right now. They're giving up the second most rushing yards, 24 attempts a game, 5.4 yards per carry, plus a few receptions. Raheem Mostert is the guy in a crazy positive pass offense that they can run, and it's a killer matchup. But if Pollard's the only guy going up against Chicago, you know, Chicago is not that much further down. They are averaging top seven, I think, in fantasy points giving up to running backs. I think those two are neck and neck, and I have Mostert. I don't know where you have him. I got Mostert at 16 right now.
I have him at 17. Pollard at
17. Okay.
I've got Pollard at 15. So I have in this group, I feel like is fairly interchangeable that I'm going to list off here. I have Pierce at 14, Damian Pierce at 14, Pollard at 15, Miles Sanders at 16, Raheem Mostert at 17, Kamara at 18, Stevenson 19, Stingley 20.
So ooh, what's up with Kamara down at 16? That's a new one. What is Kamara? Kamara is 9 on this list. So Kamara way down there has jumped out to me.
Yeah, Kamara sucks. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He hasn't been good. New Orleans offense hasn't been good. So I don't like him that much. So, you know, how many points has he been putting up here, Kamara?
He's not putting up a lot of points. Just like one of the things that stands out to me, third most receiving yards given up to running backs is against the Raiders. 55.
He has one game over 15 points. One.
Yeah, that's
wild. He scored 10.5 against Arizona last week. Like he had, and this is touching the ball 18 times. This is not very few touches. He ran the ball 11 times for 49 yards and had 7 catches for 56. So he's getting yards, but they're not getting in the end zone with Dalton at quarterback. So, you know, if the touches are fine, but they're not, he's not scoring. And this is what we want from Kamara, but this is why he's a high variance player. And he always has been. You know, he won you a league a couple years ago, scoring 6 touchdowns on Christmas Day. Remember that? Yeah. It was crazy. So he literally won people leagues that year. But, you know, very few people were in the championship with Kamara because he'd been hurt and not playing as well.
A fascinating situation, dude. You might be in a situation where you got Ken Walker, Travis Etienne, and Alvin Kamara. And if you can only start 2 running backs, Kamara is going to be the bottom of that barrel.
He's the bottom B for sure.
Yeah. Right. I was going to ask you Pollard versus Etienne then, because where do you have Etienne this week?
I've got Etienne at 10. So yeah, I've got him ahead of Swift. I got him ahead of Fournette. Aaron Jones, Pierce, those guys. So look, with no James Robinson there, Etienne is the dude. And it's also, like we said, it's a weird kind of overwhelming, you know, situation to go to London. It's his first London game, even though he made the trip last year and all that stuff. So I just think, what do you do when you're you know, traveling a bunch and had a weird week? You probably just hand the ball off to your running back, and they don't have another guy to hand it off to. It's him, Hasty. They like Snoop Connor, who they drafted out of Ole Miss this year. So, but most of those touches are going to Etienne. I just think he's going to have a really big day in London. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All those guys we talked about, I have over Fournette right now. I have him over four. I have Fournette at 19 this week against Baltimore. Just Rashad White got a big increase in snaps. I wonder if it's going to continue. There's just really interesting.
Do you really care about that? I just want to stop on that just for a second, because I think I just want to make this point that, and I see this on, you know, and I love Nate Janke is a godsend, I think, to fantasy players, because he puts that giant report on PFF. If you have a PFF subscription, you can go and look at it, where he talks, you know, routes run, snap percentage, all that stuff. And he puts that out on Sunday. But there's sometimes where he'll talk about, like, you know, like Rashad White getting more snaps and stuff. But they're not letting White do anything with these snaps. These are blocking snaps. These are like obvious rundowns or obvious pass downs, or he runs a route and doesn't get the ball thrown to him. So he's doing a lot of dirty work, and they're still giving Fournette touches. So I almost feel like they're putting White in here in these situations just to get Fournette a breather, because when Fournette comes on the field, they keep giving him the ball, which also makes your offense incredibly predictable. So I do think you need to give the ball to White more if you're going to have him out there and not just have him as a decoy, because then the whole goddamn defense knows. So I don't know. It's just very frustrating to me that he's getting on the field and not getting touches. Because especially with Fournette being so completely inept last week, give the dude some touches.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Really? But I think, I mean, like, my thought process on it is that's where we're heading. Like, this, these are the
features
that get us there. Also, the Bucks offense is inept right now. Like, PFF
it's just
actually
been like that for 3 weeks with White, and they just keep not going to.
And it may it's not, annoying. But it's just, I'm also not enamored with Leonard Fournette right now in the Bucks offense. So I
that's
don't
fair.
See it. I think to the all the same stuff you kind of talked about with Kamara, I kind of could throw into what's
absolutely
going on with Fournette. And
100%.
PFF actually, they have an article up. They do it very early. It's like their first betting article, and they had like three early things that they posted. And their number one was actually the under receiving yard prop for Leonard Fournette at 29.5. Wow. And it was at due to the increase of Rashad White in the snap count. My only problem was I looked and it's like Leonard Fournette had crushed this like 4 or 5 weeks, or maybe it was like 4 of 6 weeks, but the last 2 weeks he hadn't hit it, but he had like 80 yard receiving performances and stuff. And it feels like it's a good play because Fournette, I don't know, like the positivity and the role he has in the offense seems to be have adjusted the last couple of weeks, but on a dime, they could change that. And we haven't seen enough. So while it's like, I ding Fournette a little bit just because of how bad they've been in Rashad White's increased snap percentage, I'm not quite ready to jump in on the under on receiving yards because of that snap percentage for Rashad White.
Yeah. First of all, the very first under that should have been written should have been Kyle Pitts receiving yards, right? That's number one. Number two, which I'll be taking on Bet This League. So please tune in. Number two, I want to play a game real quick. Let me know. And I just want to double check this. How many touchdowns does Alvin Kamara have this season?
I mean, you're asking that because it's low. I think it's a possibility that it's zero, but I think it's one.
That's what it is. It's zero.
Oh, zero. It is zero.
Fournette has five. You know, Fournette's not killing it, but he has four receiving, one rushing. So he has five touchdowns. That's the difference to me, is Kamara has no touchdowns this year. Now, look, once again, that's high variance. Could get four this week, and no one would bat an eye. They'd be like, well, there's Kamara, but it just hasn't happened. And under Andy Dalton, this offense has been bad, and they're sticking with him, which is just crazy to me. Like, Andy Dalton is fine. He's a fine backup quarterback. You don't start him over Jameis Winston. I'm not the biggest Jameis fan, but Christ, he's better than Andy Dalton. So I don't know what they're doing in New Orleans. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it is an odd one. So that's kind of that group. Moving down a little bit more, let me just ask you, where did you put Deontay Foreman this week?
It's funny, Atlanta. Because this week I need to make moves on the fly here. Because I haven't.
This is perfect then.
This is what I'm doing. I'm going to put him at 30. I'm going to have him. I put him at 30. I'm going to have him in the same range of Herbert, Jamal Williams, Michael Carter, Daryl Henderson, David Montgomery, like in that grouping. So, and that's just below guys like Najee, Connor, Brian Robinson, Gus Edwards. So that's the group that I like him in.
I moved him to 27. And that might be a little reactionary.
Do I have to move him to 26? My Texas. Yeah, well,
if you really want him to be your guy, I suppose you do.
I'll move him ahead of Michael Carter, but I can't get him ahead of Henderson. So 27 is what it's going to have to be for me.
I think Henderson's a little bit banged up this week, though. I think
he's questionable.
Was up on,
so I could move him ahead, but
he's also going against the 49ers. I just want to point out he's banged up and he's going up against the 49ers. I have Daryl Henderson in the 30s. I'm not going to be big on Daryl Henderson.
And I'm fine with not liking Daryl Henderson. I don't really care. Like, I want to see what happens with him more in the week. If they're like, no, he practiced Friday, Saturday, he's fine. Or if they're like, not going to play, you know. But with Foreman, I guess my one worry is that Chuba was still the guy that got the start, even though Foreman had more touches. And this is one of those, like, what if Chuba just jumps out in that first drive and looks amazing against Atlanta? And
then I think the second drive goes to Foreman, though.
I think it should, but, you know, they kind of, maybe they might like Chuba. If they gave him the start, maybe they want to give it to him. I don't know. There's just so many directions I could see that backfield.
But you saw Henderson, Foreman in on the passing downs. It's actually funny. It's kind of like the Daryl Henderson stuff where you.
Foreman's my guy. I love Foreman.
Foreman on the passing downs, more the breakaway guy. Atlanta, not a great setup. I'm not making this huge case for him or anything like that, but I put him up at 27.
He's a must start flex,
I think.
What are you doing with Antonio Gibson?
That's funny. I actually just made a move. So I've got him inside as a flex because remember, he's my sleeper RB of the week. So I think he's a startable asset. I've currently got him at 35. I moved him above AJ Dillon, which kind of hurt, but it is what it is with AJ Dillon at this point.
I don't think that even hurts, not with the way AJ Dillon's been playing. So I have him at 31. I put him behind Herbert, one spot behind Herbert, one spot ahead of Melvin Gordon, and one spot or two spots ahead of AJ Dillon, like you said.
Okay, so we got some general range guys. I think we're a little bit off on like Herbert and David Montgomery. Because where'd you have David Montgomery? Like in the 30s?
29, 25.
Oh, you have him at 25. I have him at 25. Okay, so we have him
at exactly. I have Herbert at 30. Like, I don't know. They should go to Herbert. I think we all know that, right? That's not a question. You look with the eye test tells you Herbert is way better than David Montgomery. They just keep not doing it. They just keep having Montgomery roll out there first, and I just don't understand it. Like, just make the move and go to Herbert. It doesn't make any sense to me.
A couple other real quick ones, and let's go to wideouts. If James Conner returned to practice on Wednesday, what do you do with Conner and Benjamin?
Because I've moved him up. Yeah, I just
because I still have Benjamin at 26 and Conner defaultly was in the 40s and I haven't made the move yet. But I feel like if Conner,
I flipped him.
You're gonna have Conner in the 20s.
I got Conner at 22. I've got Eno at 38.
Man, see, I don't know. Eno looks so explosive out there. I'm trying to like, I think I'm going to go Eno. I'm going to do it right here. Eno at 33, right behind. I'm actually move Daryl Henderson up and James Conner probably to 30. I think they just eat into each other. Like in that respect, I think Conner gets a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I think Eno has more yards.
I mean, that is probably the perfect scenario to draw up as Conner gets a touchdown and Eno gets the yards. And that's probably what they want to do. I just, you know, if Conner is anything better than questionable, they like to give him just everything. So, you know,
last one, running back one. Annoying. Naheem Hines with Ellinger.
Oh, that's a good one. Did I move Hines yet? I haven't.
I moved him up and he's in the 30s for me.
I have not moved him up yet. Hold on. Let me do it right now. I'm going to put him at, I'm going to put him ahead of Dillon. So give me 34 for Naheem Hines.
Can I get 34? All right, so we're both in the same range. He's a flex option with Ehlinger, most likely going to be throwing a lot of short passes in this game. Naheem Hines, maybe an opportunity to collect 5, 6, 7 catches, you know, depending how much Ehlinger actually passes. We are going to see him be involved. That's actually going to be the funny thing here. Like, we like a lot of the short range guys, but the big key is going to be how much does Ehlinger actually throw the ball. You know, if he throws it 30 times, yeah. Oh my God, it's probably going to be Paris Campbell, 8 catches, Naheem Hines, 7 catches, Taylor, 6 catches, and Pittman has 4. You know, that's probably how it's going to end up looking, something like that. But if he only throws 15 times or 16 times a game, then it's going to be a little bit rougher. You know, Hines might not have a big day, but we're both moving.
Yeah, hopefully he's not Marcus Mariota and, you know, it kills Pittman and everybody else in the Colts offense, not named Taylor. So,
yeah,
I think they'll let him rip it. And did you see Matt Ryan, what Matt Ryan said about Sam Ehlinger? Mm-mm. I love Sam. I think he's going to be a great professional, and my job just switches to helping him. I think he's going to be awesome for us.
Wow.
That's what you want to hear.
That's the anti Joe Flacco.
Yeah. You think you're going to hear that from Baker Mayfield? Don't think so.
I don't think so, Scooter.
Pro. Matt Ryan also getting paid a lot of money, not too much. So
yeah, he gets to get paid all that money to just sit on the bench and coach. Essentially, he's going to be coaching for the rest of the season while making all the same money and not being hit. So that's not a bad thing when you're in your 30s.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig if you can get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Those lifetime backup quarterbacks, it's not the worst gig in the world making all that freaking money.
Chase Daniel, no CTE and so much money.
Yeah, keeping your brain. Yeah, keeping your brain together. Not bad. On the wide receivers, it's a lot of the same crew. I am curious, what did you do with Tyreek Hill? Tyreek Hill comes in ECR 4. Did you put him at number one? Okay, I respect that because I put him at 3. And I was like, boy, I kind of want to jump him up to 2 or 1.
Yeah, look, hate putting him ahead of Cup, right? But he's Tyreek. Like, there's Tyreek and Cup have their own brand, their own window. You put Jefferson and Chase in there too. Diggs is like right on the outside looking in, and I want to put AJ Brown in real bad. Like that 1 through 6. That 1 through 6. I mean, it's not even about the opponent. I mean, it is for the rank for the week, but just that grouping of wide receivers are just so much better than every other wide receiver. It's unbelievable. It's like their own heavenly tier. And Davante Adams, you can put in there, I guess. So it'd be Hill, Cup, Jefferson, Chase, Diggs, and Adams. Like, those guys are just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah, it's all the same crew. Okay. I want to get to this other one in 1 second, but Mike Evans. I am very worried about whatever's going on with him. The disconnect. I think he got a questionable tag on this week. I moved him. The matchup jumps out, but I put him pretty far down. I'm going all Chris Godwin this week, where I think I have Chris Godwin higher than the consensus, but I think I'm down on.
I've Godwin ahead of, or I've Godwin ahead of Evans for sure.
Where'd you put Evans? I put him at 17.
I got him at 16. I got
Godwin. Okay, and he's 11 ECR.
Where I'm actually going to move Godwin up right now to 12 because I hate Debo.
Where do you have Godwin?
I've Godwin at 12. I just moved him to 12. I'm at 13
right now.
Evans at 16. Actually, I think I'm going to move Debo down even more.
Okay, so this is going to be my question, though, that I was going to go to. Now you're already doing it. Was Amon-Ra St. Brown or Debo this week?
Okay, so I have Debo ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And it's just because it's just because of the questionable tag on Amon-Ra. I hope he's going to be fine.
Change it.
I know you hate Debo. And by the way, just on the stages that we did, Joe was giving you props out of nowhere just when we started talking about Debo because he said, Welsh looks like goddamn Nostradamus over there saying that Debo is going to suck. And I said, hey, Welsh, you're the Debo guy. And he said, I know, but I'm telling you, I'll watch him and sell him. And we were trying to convince a guy to sell Debo. So,
I guess if I put the attention into everything I do that I did the 49ers, I would probably be a goddamn genius. And I try, but like I watch every damn play of Debo and it's done. And I'm telling you, you got to change that one. He's also nursing something this week. He's one of the biggest crybabies in the NFL. You think he's going
to
be
just
full
loves
gamer
to perform
go.
Against Jalen. That's the thing is he gets up to play against Ramsey. And make him look like a bitch. So,
I just don't think he's going to get up to play. I think it's going to be Kittle. I think this is going to be McCaffrey. I got Amon-Ra at 14, and I feel like it's low. His ECR is 12.
It's fair.
I got I got Debo at 16, and I'm ready to go lower.
Look, I'm not going to hate on your ranking at all. I'm just not going to change mine, right? I completely agree with you that what I'm most interested in seeing this week is, honestly, you know, outside of if the Steelers can upset the Eagles, I'm most interested in seeing how Christian McCaffrey changes the whole look of the 49ers offense, right? Do they go to the Atlanta system and only let Jimmy throw 15 passes? And if McCaffrey's getting everything, they're going to go to the Carolina offense and not do anything for anybody else. It hurts Ayuk, Kittle, and Debo. So
yeah, I don't think they're going to do any of that. I think it's going to be a lot of the same of what we've seen. Christian McCaffrey offers in the ability to be even more dynamic as they move the ball around, or I'm sorry, as they motion before the pre-snap, which is going to cause confusion, and it's going to create play action even better. It's going to create a better play action. I think if anything, Jimmy could even up pass more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
Because one thing you now have is you have maybe two of the great... Is there... And tell me, is there a better combo of players? And even though I've been crapping on him, is there a better combo of two players to have below the line of scrimmage than McCaffrey and Debo behind the line of scrimmage?
I mean, the only one I can think of is Tyreek Hill and anybody, but
Tyreek Hill individually. I'm saying, give me a duo that competes with McCaffrey and Debo behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I mean, they're both very good. So, probably not. I mean, that's so what I'm getting at is all those picks for CMC.
And I think they can create more play action. That's going to be able to, you know, play action McCaffrey.
It could open everything up. That's the whole thing. It could open everything up and be much better. And I think that's the dream when you trade for a guy, especially with all the picks you gave up to get McCaffrey. Yeah. That's the dream, is that it's going to be the key to unlock everything, right? But does it turn into, well, you know, we thought Jimmy G was better. He's not good even with CMC back there. So let's just give the ball to CMC a bunch of times.
Yeah, but still,
which is
still
what
Jimmy.
Every offense has done with CMC. Even, you know, the one time it was unlocked was in Cam Newton's MVP year. So,
yeah. By the way, if they even dare post Debo's rushing yard prop this week, I'm smashing the under without thinking. I won't think twice. It's got to be around 15, like that 14, 15, like they've been doing. I'm not going to do a 10, they haven't posted anything yet.
I got it pulled up. So
no, it's not yet, but if they do, I'm going to smash it. Here's a big one. DJ Moore, not only was one of my picks this week, but on The Athletic, it was Jake's big start this week. The targets went back. There's not a whole lot of other guys. It's a great matchup. ECR, I didn't realize the ECR guys have jumped really heavy on it. He's already the 23rd wide receiver. So people are back. I don't have him that high. I haven't moved him that high yet.
I got him at 23.
Okay, do you?
Yes. It's funny because as you're talking, I'm like, oh, I do need to move more up. And I'm like, so I just moved him ahead of a questionable Alan Lazard. And I was like, 23 looks good. And then you said 23 because, and you know who I have one spot ahead of him. You're going to roll your eyes. Are you ready? Everybody ready for a hard...
If you say Juju, I'm going to...
Nope.
I'm
leaving. Juju's on a bye. So I do not have Juju ahead of him.
Right.
But are you guys ready to watch the Welsh's eyes roll out of his skull?
All right.
I have him one spot behind Terry McLaurin.